Imagine it's 3 in the morning.
Ah, always the worst time.
Right. So a critical production database just went offline. The flagship application is crashing, and well, the CEO's phone is ringing.
Yeah, that is a bad night.
And it gets worse. The on-call database admin needs root access right this second to fix it, but they don't have the password because that password is 50 characters long, completely randomized, and locked inside an encrypted vault.
Let me guess, the automation engine is broken.
Exactly. It's throwing some, cryptic error code, the session proxy is refusing the connection, and basically the entire company's uptime rests on your shoulders while the clock is just ticking down. So what do you do?
Well, that right there is the exact nightmare scenario that separates the certified professionals from the people who just, skimmed a textbook over the weekend.
Okay.
I mean, in that moment, you aren't just an IT worker.
Right.
You are literally the last line of defense for a company's entire infrastructure.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tearing into the architecture of privileged access management, or PM. Specifically, we're focusing on the undisputed heavyweight of the industry, CyberArk.
It really is the industry standard right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And our source material today is this highly technical, scenario-driven interview preparation manual developed by Brawley Academy.
A very thorough guide, by the way.
Super thorough. They are a heavy-hitting IT training institute out of Hyderabad. And our mission today isn't to just like throw around acronyms. We are going to break down the underlying engineering of this platform.
Right, the real nuts and
Yeah,
bolts.
and explore the specific failure states you'll be grilled on in technical interviews and kind of reverse engineer the psychology of the recruiters testing you. So, okay, let's unpack this.
To really understand the stakes of a CyberArk interview, you have to look at the attack surface first. We are dealing exclusively with privileged accounts here.
The keys to the kingdom.
Exactly. Domain admins, root accounts on Linux boxes, AWS IAM administrative users. And what's fascinating here is that hiring managers aren't looking for someone who simply knows how to navigate a web dashboard.
Anybody can click around a UI.
Right. They are looking for an architect who understands how to build and maintain a fortress that actively resists compromise from both external threat actors and insider threats.
And doing all that without breaking business continuity, which is the hard part.
Exactly.
But I have to push back right out of the gate here. If we're talking about securing local administrator passwords on Windows servers or, rotating service accounts, why go through the massive headache and expense of deploying a full on-prem CyberArk architecture?
I hear this all the time.
I mean, Microsoft gives you LAPS, right? The local administrator password solution. It's completely native. Why not just use that?
It's a really common argument, and
Yeah.
honestly, it's exactly the kind of trap an interviewer will set for you. LAPS is great for a basic Windows endpoint environment, but what happens when you have, say, thousands of Linux servers? What about your Oracle databases, your network switches, your routers, your CI/CD pipelines in the cloud?
Oh, right. LAPS doesn't touch any of that stuff.
Not at all. And more importantly, LAPS doesn't provide any session isolation or recording. If you use LAPS, the admin still takes that password and types it directly into the target machine.
Wait, so if their workstation has a keylogger?
Then that credential is compromised immediately, yes.
Ah, so the credential physically leaves the vault. That's the vulnerability.
Precisely. CyberArk's whole architecture is designed around this principle that the user should never actually know or handle the underlying password. Which brings us to the core components, starting with the digital vault.
Also known as the EPV, right? The Enterprise Password Vault.
Yep. It's a highly hardened, isolated server. It doesn't even allow standard network protocols.
So the vault is the bedrock. But, vault is totally useless if you can't get anything in or out of it securely, which is where the automation engines come into play.
Oh, yeah.
And here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, this is the fun part.
Because the component that hiring managers absolutely obsess over during interviews is the CPM, the Central Policy Manager.
And for good reason, really. The CPM is the workhorse of the whole system. It's the engine responsible for automatically verifying, changing, and reconciling passwords across your entire enterprise.
But in an interview, they don't want you to just recite that definition like a robot.
No, not at all. They want you to explain the mechanism. Like, how does it actually change a password on a server halfway across the world?
Right, because it's not magic. It's using platform-specific plugins. So if it's a Windows server, the CPM reaches out over RQC, remote procedure call.
Yeah.
Or if it's a Linux box, it's establishing an SSH connection. It logs into the target using the existing credential, tells the operating system to generate a new password based on some strict policy, verifies it, and only then updates the encrypted vault.
But here is the curveball they will definitely throw at you in a technical round. What is the mechanical difference between a logon account and a reconcile account in the CPM?
Oh man, that's a brilliant distinction. So if a system requires you to log in as a standard user before you can elevate to root, the CPM uses the logon account to establish that first hop.
Spot on. But what if the password in the vault gets out of sync?
How would that happen?
Well, let's say a rogue admin bypassed CyberArk entirely, logged directly into a server, and manually changed the root password.
Oh.
Now, CyberArk thinks the password is, say, Alpha, but the server actually requires Omega. The CPM is completely locked out now. It can't log in to change the password because its current key just doesn't fit the lock anymore.
So it'd have to call in the heavy artillery, the reconcile account.
Precisely. The reconcile account is a completely separate, highly privileged credential that's tied to the CPM. It doesn't need to know the old password at all.
Wow, okay.
It just logs into the target system and forcefully overwrites the unknown password with a newly generated one, bringing the vault and the server back into perfect synchronization.
Understanding that failure state and that recovery mechanism is so crucial for an interview.
Absolutely.
Which bridges perfectly into the actual session management stuff.
Yeah.
We talked about how we don't want users typing passwords on their local keyboards. That is the job of the PSM, the privileged session manager.
Yes.
And the best way to visualize the PSM is to think of, like, an airlock on a submarine.
That's actually a highly accurate way to frame it. I like that.
Yeah. So when you authenticate to the PVWA, the Password Vault Web Access Portal, and you request access to a server, you aren't actually connecting to that server. You click connect, and CyberArk drops an RDP file to your machine.
Right.
And you use that file to connect to the PSM. Then the PSM, which is sitting in the secure network zone, is the one that actually fetches the password from the vault and establishes a secondary independent session to the target server.
It's a complete proxy architecture. Your local endpoint never touches the target network, and the credential never touches your local endpoint.
It's totally air-gapped in a way.
Basically.
Yeah.
And because the PSM sits in the middle of that connection, it acts as a surveillance system. It records every single keystroke, every mouse click, every window open.
And it feeds all of that telemetry right into the BTA, the Privileged Threat Analytics Engine.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the PTA is where this entire ecosystem becomes proactive rather than reactive.
How so?
It uses behavioral analytics. So if a database admin usually logs in from Chicago between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., and suddenly their account requests access to a critical financial database from an IP address in Eastern Europe at 4 a.m.
The PTA flags it immediately.
Exactly. And it can instantly terminate the session and trigger the CPM to rotate the password right then and there, stopping an active lateral movement attack dead in its tracks.
Okay, so having that architectural map in your head is step one. But reading the manual for a Boeing 747 doesn't mean you can land on the plane in a crosswind, you know?
That's a great point.
The Brawley Academy guide makes it very clear that the bulk of a senior level interview is going to be scenario-based troubleshooting. They're going to throw a misfiring engine at you and ask you to diagnose it live.
Because in a production environment, things break constantly. You have to be ready.
All right, so let's run through one of the most common energy gauntlets they mention. Scenario one, the CPM fails to rotate a password on a critical Windows server, and you get an error 2101. Walk me through the triage.
See, a junior candidate might just say, I'd try it again, or I'd reboot the CPM.
Which is the wrong answer.
Very wrong. A PAM engineer knows you go straight to the logs. You open the pm.log and the third-party.log on the CPM server.
Actually, wait. Before you even open the logs, don't you need to verify the network path? I think the guide says the majority of CPM failures aren't even CyberArk bugs. They are environmental issues.
Oh, you are completely right. Good catch.
Like, did a network engineer update a firewall rule overnight and block port 135 or 445? The CPM might just be, like, blindly shouting password commands at a server that literally cannot hear it.
Right. You have to isolate the variables first. Once you verify those RPC ports are open, then you check the permissions on the target server. Like, does the reconciliation account still belong to the local administrators group?
Or did a group policy update strip its permissions?
Exactly. It has to be a systematic process of elimination. So let's escalate to scenario two.
Bring it on.
A user complains that the PSM is unreachable. They click connect in the web portal, and it just times out. However, you discover that if you bypass CyberArk and initiate a direct remote desktop connection to the target server, it works perfectly.
Okay, so that isolates the failure entirely to the CyberArk infrastructure. The target server is totally healthy.
So where do you look?
Well, I'm checking the PSM server itself first. Is the PSM service actually running in the services menu?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm looking at remote desktop services because the PSM relies heavily on Windows RDS licensing to allow multiple concurrent connections.
Yes.
So if the RDS grace period expired or the license server dropped offline, the PSM will refuse connections even if the CyberArk software itself is perfectly healthy.
That is a phenomenal answer because it shows you understand that CyberArk doesn't exist in a vacuum. It relies heavily on the underlying operating system.
Right. You had to troubleshoot Windows and Linux administration issues too, not just Vault configurations.
Let's turn up the heat a bit more. Scenario 3, disaster recovery. We've talked about all these moving parts. What happens if the data center hosting the primary vault actually catches fire? The business still needs to function.
Ooh, this tests your knowledge of high availability versus disaster recovery architecture. Since the vault is a closed SECOM, you'd configure a DR vault in a geographically separate data center. But in an interview, they want to know the actual mechanism of that replication.
Right. How does the data get there?
It's an active-passive setup, usually. The DR vault is constantly pulling encrypted data from the primary vault over a dedicated secure port.
Yes, but here is the trick question they love to ask. Does the DR vault automatically take over if the primary goes down?
Oh, that's a dangerous trap.
It really is. In many enterprise configurations, failing over to a DR vault requires a manual trigger.
Because of the split brain scenario, right?
Exactly. If there's just a temporary network blip and the DR vault just promotes itself to primary automatically, you now have two active vaults accepting password changes simultaneously.
Oh man, what a mess.
Yeah, when the network reconnects, their databases are completely out of sync and you have a catastrophic beta corruption issue. A senior engineer knows that failover is a deliberate, carefully managed process. It's not just a toggle switch.
So what does this all mean for the person sitting in the interview chair? I mean, you have to understand safe permissions, password rotation mechanisms, Active Directory integration, API calls. It is just an overwhelming amount of technical surface area.
It is, and the common mistakes section of the Brawley Academy guide highlights exactly where candidates collapse under that pressure.
What's the biggest issue?
The number one red flag recruiters see is memorizing answers without grasping the architecture. If you tell them what a component does, but you can't explain how it does it, you're done.
Or giving one-line answers, right? If they ask you how to fix a PSM connection issue and you just shrug and say, I checked the logs, you've basically failed the question.
Absolutely. You have to narrate the troubleshooting journey. You have to explain which logs, which ports, which services.
This raises an important question, though. How do you get that deep, practical production level experience if you've never been a PAM engineer before?
Yeah.
Like, how do you avoid that catch 22 of needing experience to get the job, but needing the job to get experience?
Right. And this is exactly why the source material comes from Brawley Academy today. They aren't just a blog. They are a major software training institute. They've been in the IT and cybersecurity space for over 12 years.
Wow, 12 years.
Yeah. And they've built their entire curriculum around bridging that exact gap. When you look at their approach, they are entirely focused on real-time, project-based learning.
Because recruiters from top-tier firms, you know, companies like IBM, Deloitte, Accenture, TCS, Infosys, they don't care about your theoretical knowledge.
Not at all.
They care if you can actually fix a broken CPM plugin on a live Linux server.
Exactly. And Brawley Academy sets up actual lab environments for their students. You aren't just, you know, sitting there watching slides.
You actually have to get your hands dirty.
Yes. You have to configure the PVWA yourself. You have to install the CPM. You have to integrate Active Directory through LDAP.
Oh, and don't forget, setting up those tricky AIM and credential provider agents that DevOps teams use to pull passwords for their applications.
Right, all of it. They simulate the whole enterprise ecosystem. And because they offer both classroom training in Hyderabad and really comprehensive online training, they have this massive data set on what current industry requirements actually are.
So their curriculum is always up to date.
Exactly. It includes things like Conjure Basics for dynamic secrets management, Cloud PAM integration, and leveraging REST APIs to automate Vault tasks.
And those are the advanced topics that really differentiate a, say, 7 lakhs per annum fresher from a 20 lakhs per annum senior engineer.
Oh, definitely.
Actually, let's talk about those numbers for a second, because the guide lays out the career opportunities and the salary trajectory in the Indian market And it is wild. It explains exactly why people subject themselves to learning this incredibly complex system.
The payoff is huge.
Right. A fresher starting out as a CyberArk administrator might pull in 4 to 7 LPA.
Which is a solid start, but look at the scale. Once you hit that 2 to 4 years of solid production experience, it jumps to 7 to 12 LPA.
And at 5 to 8 years.
You're looking at 12 to 20 LPA. And if you reach senior consultant status, where you're managing massive multinational deployments, you're commanding 20 to 35 plus lex. Or even more, depending on your certifications and the specific employer.
That is literally a life-changing return on investment. But it all hinges on passing that interview, which is why Brawley Academy's placement assistance stood out to me so much in this guide.
Oh, their placement support is fantastic.
They don't just teach you how to configure a DR vault and then, you know, wave goodbye and wish you luck.
No, they handle the entire pipeline. They do ATS resume optimization, which is critical. I mean, if your resume doesn't have the right keywords regarding PMM concepts, safe management, or session monitoring, a human recruiter will never even see it.
The system will just filter you out. They also do LinkedIn profile optimization, job referrals, and mock interviews, which I think is the most important part.
Those mock interviews are invaluable. We talked earlier about candidates freezing under pressure. Well, the only way to stop freezing is to simulate that pressure beforehand.
Right. You have to practice explaining complex security concepts out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, explaining how the PTA uses behavioral analytics to a panel of technical experts.
You have to build that muscle memory.
So, to summarize what we've unpacked today, mastering a CyberArk interview requires a very specific trinity of skills. First, you need the architectural blueprint. You really have to understand how the EPV, the CPM, and the PSM interact dynamically.
Yep, the foundation.
Second, you need a systematic troubleshooting methodology. You never panic, you isolate the variables, and you check the network before you blame the software.
Always check the network first. And third, you need clear, structured communication. When you are sitting across from a technical panel at a place like LTI Mindtree or PwC or EY, and they hit you with a scenario you have literally never seen before.
Do not guess.
Absolutely. Do not try to fake it. The experts interviewing you will see right through it in a second, and it instantly destroys your credibility.
So what should you do instead?
Confidently explain your diagnostic process. You just say, you know, I haven't encountered that specific error code, but my first step would be to isolate the issue by checking the PM.log, verifying WinRN connectivity to the target, and reviewing the vault configuration for that specific safe.
That shows how you think.
Exactly. Honesty, paired with logical, analytical thinking, proves you are someone they can trust with their most critical asset.
Because at the end of the day, they are handing you the master keys to the entire company.
Precisely. If you're aiming for a PAM engineer role, you want a place like Brawley Academy that gives you those real-time projects and that placement assistance to build that confidence.
For sure. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, building on that concept of the PTA we talked about. The privileged threat analytics.
Okay, where are we going with this?
Well, we know it uses behavioral analysis to learn what normal human behavior looks like, right? So it can detect anomalies.
Right.
But as generative AI and automated cyber attacks become vastly more sophisticated, they're being trained to perfectly mimic the keystroke pacing, the login times, and the exact workflows of legitimate human administrators.
Oh, wow. It really is an escalating arms race.
Right. So are we rapidly approaching a reality where the guard, you know, CyberArk's behavioral AI, and the thief, an attacking AI network, are just locked this endless high-speed automated war over these privileged credentials, moving at speeds no human could ever track?
That is intense.
And if so, what happens to the human PAM engineer caught in the middle of that crossfire? Do we just become the bystanders who turn the algorithms on and hope for the best?
It's a chilling thought, honestly. But it is the exact challenge the cybersecurity industry is speeding toward right now.
The perimeter isn't just a firewall anymore. And that encrypted vault protecting the servers. The lock on it is getting smarter, but so are the lock picks. Make sure you know exactly how the tumblers work.